Once again, boys and girls, we are back. It's hour three is what we're kicking off right now, right here in Studio C. You've got Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins are with us. Jason Carlton is also guest starring tonight. Welcome to it.
He's in the ladies' room.
We've had a lot of discussion, good discussion tonight on the show about all kinds of various topics, being
very heated,
political. There's all over the place. We're passionate people. My God,
we're very loud today.
We're passionate.
If you've missed it, hour one we do intros, how do you do's, obsessions. We talk about that. Number two hour is all about a headlines, which was a lot of where our discussion was this week.
Do we call that B when it posts?
It'd be block C block. Realize what that is.
Yeah, but when it posts.
Oh, but it's B. You are correct. It'd be 321B.
Is it A, B, and C when we post
321B.
Yeah.
But what we're doing now is Al Perkins in entertainment. Here we go.
All right, entertainment.
Hello.
So, well, just because.
Way to take it. Way to run with it.
Thank you. Entertainment. So we were talking about this because of Kat's shitty gluten-free beer.
It really is shitty. There's two more in the fridge. I got to check them out.
Good for you.
So there was.
We can make a beer bong.
Oh, where did
it? Nope. What am I
10? So it came up, and I repeated,
sometimes.
I repeated it again about Budweiser being gluten-free.
You said it.
But it's not.
Are you the source of fake news?
I am.
Yes. Oh, my God. Hashtag.
It contains less gluten than many other because of a percentage of the fermentable sugars are provided by rice instead of barley, but it is far from gluten-free.
Oh.
So in order to get a truly gluten-free beer, there's Red Bridge, manufactured by Anheuser-Busch, and Bard's Tale, and they're made from sorghum, which is gluten-free.
Mm.
And
sounds delicious.
Because of wheat and hops.
Without the sorghum.
Because of wheat and hops, beer can't be gluten-free.
Right. I thought that when you said it, but I was afraid I was stupid.
Gluten comes from grains. Right.
So,
but unlike vodka, it's all gluten-free. In the distillation process, gluten-free.
Vodka, yeah.
Yeah, vodka, not beer.
Not
but
beer.
Just this gluten-free debate kills me.
Yes, and...
It does.
Because of how they make it, whether it's wheat...
No, it kills me because all the dumb people in America that just say, I need your gluten-free menu, and I'm gluten intolerant, and I'm doing this fad diet, so...
They're a Kardashian. Shut the fuck up. You should just say that to them.
And the Kardashians eat gluten. Well, look at their asses.
For the people that are truly, have issues. And
there
and,
are... I'm not discounting that.
No, but that's what ruins
it. Is there gluten in the Butterfinger? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it is one of those things where it went from something that was serious to a trend that just became...
Right.
It was a South Beach diet of a serious disease.
We call that being Katie June.
And so now we're going to segue from that into Amina's obsession from last week.
Oh.
I enjoy segue.
About her obsession is the Santa Clarita diet. Which, if you are not watching the show, is fucked up beyond reason.
Is there a show called Santa Clarita Diet?
Yes.
Shut up!
Amina will join in.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, I don't have it.
And it is fucked up. Amina last week was quoting from it. She must have started the day she started watching it. She was just throwing quotes online. It's absurdly funny. Just absurd. It's absurd and funny and absurdly funny. Like every combination of that. So I just wanted to give her a shout out. I know Harrison was one of the people that helped me spread this rumor about Budweiser being gluten free, and I never bothered to Google it. But I was like, yeah, why not?
Okay.
They sell you a lot of shit when you're at the Coors plant too.
Oh.
But Amina, I wanted to give you a shout out about that Santa Clarita
diet. By the way, here we are. I didn't know it existed.
And it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's kind of cute for a white guy.
No, it's what's his butt. It's
who?
Timothy Olyphant. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
That's too young and blonde.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't think of that guy's name.
Stand by.
Looks like an average white guy.
Yeah.
In an average white band.
And it is average white guy. That's what it says here on IMDb.
Yeah.
Oh. Very nice.
It's Timothy Olyphant.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
really?
There it is.
I was like, I'm 99%
sure.
Well,
he has more hair and is blonde.
It's a wig.
Yeah, no, it's not a wig. But he's aging very nicely. Guessing.
I don't know what fake news is or not anymore.
I know, it's so confusing.
We are not.
It's hard to say.
So there's
except
Amina.
The gluten story.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Fake,
hashtag oops, that one.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
And watch that show. Just watch a couple episodes and just be ready.
Trump is going to go on the record tomorrow. That fucking show in Arizona is all fake news.
It didn't hook me. I watched a couple. It didn't grab me.
But it was very quotable.
Oh. Yeah, it's cute.
It struck
Drew
me
Barrymore.
As,
that's who was in that picture?
That's Drew Barrymore.
Oh, and Portia, okay. Portia de Rossi.
That's who's in that picture, or is that Portia?
Yeah.
No, that's Drew.
That's Drew. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Again, the show.
Well, she looks young there too. I mean, Drew's
I thought it was Diane Lane. That looked like Diane Lane.
No, you're right. That is her. Look at that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, I don't think Drew's. It's just Drew's when she barely. Has, Drew's your age.
When she has her mouth set,
she's barely 40.
When she has her mouth set, she doesn't lisp.
That, that's what
she's not lisping in the picture.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore was born in 1975.
Oh, so
he was born in 78.
Nine.
Okay.
My favorite car.
1 year doesn't matter at this point.
Valid point.
Okay, so there's that, because I wanted to give her a shout out. Again, it didn't hook me either, but those first couple episodes were very quotable.
Very funny. Yeah, yeah.
Very funny. John Oliver last week went off about Equifax. If you've ever used a credit card or a debit card or have bought a car, please go back and find John Oliver. Find it online. Maybe we'll put the link in our page. But you need to know about Equifax, what it did to the American economy, and how it's going to fuck you for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
And find out what Elizabeth Warren's trying to do about it.
And I can tell you from the strange emails and texts I'm now getting that I was hacked.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, it's obvious. I'm getting surveys about banks I've never been to. I'm getting, all kinds of questions.
And by the way, every time you get one of those, every one of those, Bank of America, PayPal, anybody, they have an email you can forward it to that is a spoof, and then they trace it and fuck with them and block them.
Yep.
So there is a way, no matter what you get, you can, if you want to take the moment to do it, you can forward that to their security group, and they will deal with it for you.
Oh, good, because it's bad.
Come on, Terrace, I'm...
I got one today, and I was like... Do you want to unsubscribe from this? And I'm like, oh, I'm not touching anything.
No, right.
Yeah. I just leave that and put it in the spam.
Amazon spammers use a combination of uppercase and lowercase letters.
Yeah.
When you read the sentence from Amazon about a free gift or please rate this product, if there's any variation in where an uppercase letter should be, that's spam.
Yeah.
Apple has the same thing. Apple's been spammed, although they swear to God that you can't. You can't spam a Mac and all that stuff.
Blah, blah, blah. Of course you can.
Yeah, Apple got spammed hard because they started sending me stuff about, we're processing your new Spotify. And I'm like, okay, I know that's not me because I don't believe in that shit.
Right.
Like, so just, but watch it. It's of course, because it's John Oliver, it's kind of funny and it's kind of spot on.
And other tricks to some of the email phishing is to, not click on the links in the email.
Yeah,
if you get an email from Wells Fargo and it says that it needs to make a change to your account, leave that email. Don't just click on the
through. And go back to the home website.
And go to the website
and log in.
You know what
I mean? That's what I did with Chase. I had gotten something suspicious from Chase.
Mm-hmm. Do you bank with Chase?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I called...
Because that's another oddity.
Yeah. I called the number on the back of my card and said, here's what this is saying. And they're like, send that to us.
Right.
Yep.
Forward it to this email. We'll take care of that, but definitely. And they're like, thank you for not clicking on anything inside of it.
And if you don't know what the email address is, literally, if you Google spoof Chase or spam Chase or something like that, it will show you the list of all of them. Like, I always forget what PayPal's is.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, they do, even before this hack, for some reason, people love to send you that kind of stuff.
Update your password.
Right, your latest transaction is now ready for viewing or some bullshit. And you're like, no. So it was like spoof@paypal.com. And then you always get an email back from PayPal going, thank you for whatever. But what you were just saying, don't click a link. Go to the website.
Yeah.
But forward that email to them, because what they do is they go out and they kibosh all of that bullshit and try to limit it.
But this Equifax was like... More than half of our nation got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
when
you figure out that a big portion of our nation doesn't have credit yet, you know what I mean? Like, when you think about the numbers of what's left when you get rid of half the nation, like, you get children.
Absolutely.
It really had no credit. All of us.
And the South.
It really did.
Yeah.
It did. So there was that.
And like what Al said, if you have a credit card, debit card, bank account, you've been hacked.
Right.
You really have. The one thing that.
This isn't Home Depot 3 years ago.
Oh, and that's the big difference.
Or Target.
This
and
is
Target,
not Target
right.
and Home Depot.
Or all of the other small ones that were like 2-3 million people.
No.
Yeah, this
I forget what the number was, but it was ginormous.
It was like 150 million.
Yeah.
It was huge. So there is a movie out currently that I cannot wait to see. It's based on a book by an author that I like. His name is Joe Nesbo. He is from the Netherlands, I want to say, or Dutch. Could be a she, but I'm pretty sure it's a man. And the lead detective in most of his books, his name is Harry Hole, which is pronounced differently in Harry their Hole? Native tongue. So it doesn't.
Joe Nesbo is a man.
I
He's
like that
Norwegian,
you said Norwegian, Harry Norwegian. Hole and tongue in the same sentence.
Yeah, so it's but how you pronounce it is slightly different, so it doesn't sound as off color. And I guess when they did the English translations, they had to put in a little parenthetically to that. But so the snowman
is sweetie.
Out. Yeah, the snowman is out. It's out as a movie. I can't wait
to
see it.
Me neither. I can't. There's no fucking way.
I'll do it with you. Yeah. Let's drop some acid first.
I assume it to be a horror flick.
Yes. Looks good, but he's more of a gumshoe detective novel kind of guy that solves mysteries and murders. So I think they're doing that thing where they're selling it as a horror movie when it really isn't.
I think
they're just trying to sell
thing.
An October release as a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because he's not a horror writer. He's more of a crime writer. But I'm very excited about that. So I'm hoping to get to see that this weekend as I do all my Halloween stuff. Mindhunters, we talked about it last week. The true story, and it keeps bringing me back to Charlottesville because that's where the University of Virginia is,
yep.
Which is where they get most of the recruits for the FBI. It's where Clary Starling allegedly went, and it's not a charm school.
Clarice.
Yeah, so... If you did not make it to the end of Mindhunters yet, I cannot recommend the show.
I haven't made
enough.
It to the beginning yet.
It's not scary. It is not a horror show in any. It's a procedural. There's a show on called Criminal Minds, which I'm only vaguely familiar with.
Oh my
with.
God, I was obsessed with Criminal
Minds.
So
it's Criminal
the
Minds
time,
without the violence. Yeah. Like there is no violence in this show. There is no. They're they're solving murders, but the murders aren't shown. The murders are only
because Criminal Minds is called parenthetically. What's the worst thing we can do to a human, and then make it a child
and make it and show it on TV.
Yeah.
So
SVU.
Yeah.
that's what's the worst thing we can do to women.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why Mandy Patinkin left that show because it was way more
so violent
and graphic.
Horrible and weird.
So, but what I've heard, and I've never watched this Criminal Minds show, I wasn't even sure that was called, but they're saying that...
That rabbit hole you'll never escape.
That this is Criminal Minds without the violence. It's very chatty, and it's very about how they set up the procedure. There's a female psychologist and professor who's trying to do an academic study out of it. And the one guy he wants to solve crimes with it,
mm-hmm.
and she wants it to be a pristine study so that they can publish as an academic research project. And if he gets involved with crime cases, she thinks he's going to, sully the water. You know what I mean? He's going to...
Muddy the water?
Muddy, yeah.
You're welcome.
Sully
sure,
is the other
whatever.
Word.
I don't care.
So she wants.
Is that after the movie?
No.
Soleil of the Water?
Oh, it's already on my list. Good. I just went to Netflix to add it to my list. And then I remembered because I pulled it up last week, and it's fucking Jonathan Groff.
So
it's Groff Sauce.
It's Groff Sauce. So it's very interesting to see how it's a true story of how they came up with the behavioral crimes unit and how we started tracking serial killers and not calling them lust killers, like how they came up with the term. How they interviewed people, like the whole thing of going to the prison to meet Hannibal Lecter is not something that Thomas Harris made up. It's something that he learned. He studied with a guy that, he took the real people from the FBI and asked them their stories, and they were going and talking to serial killers in jail and being like, we need to know how you grew up. How did you start? What were your thoughts? What were your feelings? How did you feel when you did this? And it's empathy. And the scary part is when you start to understand how they think, and then you see a crime and you start to understand how the crime was committed because you're empathetic to both sides. You can look at a crime scene and be like, okay, this isn't a crime of violence. This is a crime of
passion,
of power. But they were trying to get away from the husband didn't do it every time, just because. This person's dead doesn't mean the husband did it. Like, there's a pattern here that fits a larger profile, not just the butler did it. So it's intriguing, and I have to tell you,
Colonel Mustard in the library.
And there's one short episode that seriously broke my heart because I'm like, I need 30 more minutes. What do you mean you're done in 28 minutes? But it's excellent viewing.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do instead of 17 hours on Facebook this week.
Right, The Walking Dead is back. Delicious. We've changed the whole tone. And I guess Fear the Walking Dead, for people that are watching that, they're combining showrunners for a little bit to get Fear the Walking Dead on a better path. And supposedly the guy that runs The Walking Dead is going to start running Fear the Walking Dead. They're going to have a combined episode at some point, even though they're like 5 years apart in timeline. And somehow they're going to turn the tide of that.
Who knows?
Because it's a highly rated...
The tide is high.
Yeah. yes. And I'm holding on.
I'm holding on.
Nobody cares.
So this movie that I want to see that I cannot find anywhere is called Super Dark Times. It's supposed to be this new teenage angst horror film. It's playing in limited release somewhere, but it's not here yet. About bullies, and it's very like real world Green River murders kind of thing where like they're gonna like take, I guess it takes a true, like a very possible thing that could happen between friends that are fighting over a girl and goes real fucking wrong. But I don't know, I mean, like we're 5 days, 6 days from Halloween, 7 days from Halloween, and I can't find this fucking movie everywhere, so maybe it opens this Friday.
We're a week. Yep. A 7 day. Because next Tuesday, when we're here...
Yeah, it'll be Halloween.
You might have missed the boat, because IMDb says it came out the last week of September. So if it was super limited
release... I think it was limited release, and they just haven't gone wide yet. But anyways, I've been reading about it for a couple weeks now, and I'm dying to see it. Because it looks really... And the comparisons they're making to like movies that I really like over the last 30 years of like teens gone wrong. So there you go. We talked about those two.
Bag of nickels.
Right, Heathers. That? But, you know.
Oh, no, Heather. I'm just saying my favorite Teens Gone Wrong movie
is
still
Heathers.
Is the Heathers.
Yeah, sure, I haven't seen it.
Oh, God, it's so...
Someday!
So, it's so good.
I'll write it down.
It's your damage, Heather. And now my last
thing. I say that to my employees now. They're like, huh?
I know.
I'm
no
like, what's your damage?
No one ever gets it.
No, they don't get it.
Okay, so Mark Wahlberg, who's as Jesus-y as they come.
This isn't your last thing.
Yeah, this is.
No, it's not.
Oh, I forgot about Benson.
We'll get there. Just tell about Jesus-y.
So Mark Wahlberg was speaking to Chicago Incorporated on Friday night. The Oscar-nominated actor revealed, "I just always hope that God is a movie fan and also forgiving because I've made some poor choices in my past." When pressed for details, he name-checked one movie in particular, the 70s set cult classic that launched director Paul Thomas Anderson to fame.
Right.
Boogie Nights is there on the top of the list. Wahlberg made the comments beside Cardinal... Blaise Kupich at the UIC Pavilion in Chicago, a devout Catholic. The actor portrayed Dirk Diggler. What did I say?
Devout.
Oh, devout. I meant devout. An impressionable young man turned A-list porn star. His appearance opposite the Cardinal on Friday was part of an effort to draw young people into the church by bringing Dirk Diggler along.
Right, right.
Boogie Nights, which was released in 1997 and co-starred Burt Reynolds and Julianne Moore, was a major step in Wahlberg's career. Earlier this year, Wahlberg told ABC News that he almost turned down the movie, was convinced by the script and Anderson's involvement. He added, however, that he'd likely never reprise the role. "I have four kids, I've got two daughters, I'm married, and I try not to let that affect what I do as an artist." It was a movie about a real industry, like
right. It was almost not biographical, but it was a legitimate person. It was a story about them.
But I have
you're right, in that industry.
I think I have my own segue to this. So let me just double check if I'm name checking the right people, and I will.
It was loosely based around Studio 54, right? Because he was a bartender.
No, not that one.
No, not that one.
No. But it was the same era though. Right?
Same era, but
I'm not saying it was Studio 54, but like that whole thing. He was a bartender, he was hot guy, worked in a bar.
Yeah, but it was California, not...
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, not in New York.
It's been way
too long. This was all California. So it was, if you want to say it's loosely based on somebody, it could have been John Holmes-ish, but there was already 2-3 movies about that.
All right.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that I had the right person. So Paul Thomas Anderson, who kind of came to the fore, if you will, on Boogie Nights... he also made The Master, which was the movie which I need to see again. That's the movie that I dragged Harrison to, and she almost had a stroke because she hated it so much. And it was a tough movie.
That was the one with Joaquin Phoenix.
About Scientology.
Loosely based on
Scientology.
I wanted to see that, but I think I'll be so angry by the time I'm done.
It's a rough movie. It's not an A to B. Paul Thomas Anderson does not make A to B movies. You're not going to get from A to B in a gentle, easy way. You're going to be raked around a few times. But he also made Magnolia.
Just like Scientology.
In between Boogie Nights and...
The Master.
The Master. He made Magnolia, which was Tom Cruise's third Oscar nomination and most recent. And they consider themselves to be very good friends. So Paul Thomas Anderson had a screening for Tom Cruise of The Master.
Oh.
And so they had a very private discussion, and they remained friends. He was glad that he screened it for him first, because that was the movie, and I think we talked about it on here years ago with Buddy, that it was a movie that was absolutely not about Scientology. Wink, 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 wink.
Okay.
But absolutely right. Not about Scientology.
But right.
Wink, 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 wink.
No, I recall it, because I even recall seeing the previews of it, and I'm like,
yeah, and it's a fucked up movie. It's not an easy one to navigate through, because they're just so unlikable. But Amy Adams is just amazing in it as the wife who kind of disappeared. No, she didn't disappear. She outright died. But
what was the name? I'm going to be very, very. This is a divergence completely. What was the name of the movie that was about Truman Capote of the past few years ago?
Oh, there was two. There was.
Because I thought it was something like
was
The Master.
Midnight Special or
no?
I thought The Master or something was similar to that.
Well, Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it, and it was called
Capote. What it was. My bad.
But then there's the other one
that's what I'm confusing.
Called Infamous.
Infamous is the second one.
Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it, and he was in The Master. That's where I'm getting it.
Right.
My bad.
Google right. Fingers.
Got it.
Yeah. And from The Walking Dead, the movie of In Cold Blood, which Truman Capote wrote about the murderers, the guy that played the other guy is in The Walking Dead is Herschel. That's why he's so famous. That's his big role. So then Robert Guillaume, who many remember from Soap or from Benson. The spinoff of Soap, passed at a ripe old age of, I want to say, 89.
89 today.
Yeah. So
I was going to play this little scene. It's like 40 seconds. It's a scene of a murder mystery on Soap. And just the way that Robert Guillaume plays it off was so funny. It is, if you don't know what Soap is, Soap was a very late 70s series. It was called Soap because it was a complete comedy series, but it was based on the fact that soap operas are so dramatic, and the stories that intertwine in soap operas are crazy. Yeah. But Soap was so funny because it was a fucking mess.
Yeah,
everybody was, the storylines were crazy.
One of the funniest shows.
But it was so funny. Mom. So this is a scene from Soap. The actor playing Benson is the one who died today, and you'll understand why here in just a second. It's Soap on Q Talk America.
Then there are more. Oh, please. He's a suspect.
Why?
For two reasons. Well, number one, because he's black.
That's fair.
The other reason is because he's the butler. We all know that in many, many cases like this, the butler did it.
What?
Where do you think they got that expression? I mean, you think they just dreamed it up? The butler did it? No. Well, you're suspect number four.
Benson.
Yeah, thanks. Now for you.
That seems fair. But Benson, Robert Guillaume, he played comedically that character so well. But the Soap series, if you've never enjoyed, Catherine Hellman playing the ditzy rich woman and her sister.
And Richard Mulligan.
And that's where we get, that's where we started a lot with Billy Crystal, because he was,
that was his
he was the gay brother of the series.
He was the first
series.
Gay character on TV.
On TV, right.
And Jay Nelson was that his name? That was the ventriloquist?
Oh
right.
Yeah. Jay Johnson. Jay Johnson.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Funny. And I found out you can buy all 12, like all the seasons of everything on one or two DVDs for like $20 online.
Well, Benson was one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Inga Svensson played the chef in the governor's house.
And that governor was just
inept.
So,
right. James Noble played the governor, who was just inept as all
so
shit.
So well.
Yeah, yes. That was good.
And was still much smarter than Donald Trump.
Of course he was.
Good times. And an accomplished theater actor and wonderful singer. He had a beautiful voice.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Okay.
I had actually forgotten about that,
He
too.
Was another person that started off on Broadway and made his way to TV, and they never let him sing again. And like, so this big part of his career just kind of went away. But, he was wonderful. And he appeared on Donna Summer's TV special and sang The Impossible Dream with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How is it we always managed to get back to Donna?
Yeah,
she did a lot.
Yeah, busy lady. She was very busy.
But he was also the voice of Rafiki in
That's right.
The Lion King.
That's right.
Oh! No.
So he died a wealthy man because he was still getting residuals.
Getting
from
those Disney royalties.
And probably somebody in his family is going to continue to get that for a while.
Yeah.
Daughter, and son, and whoever.
And the last thing I saw him in
was... Well, with no estate tax.
With Tim Burton's Big Fish about probably 10 or 12 years ago with Jessica Lange. Mm-hmm. And he was wonderful in that movie, too.
I love Big Fish.
Yeah,
I watch it all the time still.
It's a great movie.
I love it.
Oh, it's Sports Night. He was on Sports Night and had the stroke.
And
they had to decide whether or not to replace him or let him play... slightly less, and they let him go. He stayed on there for a while after his stroke, and then they finally replaced him. I think it just became too much. But then he was in Big Fish, so he did recover. He just couldn't do it.
Right,
couldn't do it live on TV.
Oh,
that's right. I forgot he was on that.
Please let me know when you're done.
I'm just trying to think if there was anything. Was nominated for Broadway's 1977 Tony Award for Best Actor for a revival of Guys and Dolls.
Mm.
But he was really just a wonderful singer. So you can find videos of him because he toured a lot as a singer.
Mm-hmm.
He kept his career alive in a lot of different ways. He's good.
Jenny, you had a hard time watching
Soap?
Watching Soap or watching Benson?
Either one. Imagine. Yeah, I'm not sure which one. But I can't imagine how you couldn't have watched Soap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Jenny's our age, Soap was way too... I think Jenny's about our age.
I enjoyed Soap when I was... I don't know. My mom watched it, and I...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We watched it.
Now, granted, I may not have understood half of it, but to me, it was funny at the time. But as I've watched it later on, I'm like, oh, dear God.
Yeah,
they got a lot away with a lot of stuff.
Because I had to hide behind the couch and watch that, and I would always get caught laughing. Because that show, like, my mom was like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
She watched one episode. Like, my father found it funny, but my mother was like, no, that's...
And if I'm not mistaken, that was on ABC. If I'm not mistaken, it was a... Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
It only lasted, for as much as we loved it, it only lasted like two or three
years. Three seasons, not a long time.
Diana Canova, that's where we get Robert Orange from.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah, he went on to Vegas from there.
So many great actors were on it, though. Yeah. So funny. And Katherine Helmut, who was probably 27 at the time, still looked old.
Yeah.
Like, and she's, if you don't recall who Katherine Helmut is, she was the mother on Overboard. She played...
And who's the boss? No, she was legitimately old. She was probably older than the Golden Girls.
But not in 1977. She wasn't. But she was still playing older characters.
Yep.
And she was just an older character her entire life.
Even when she was on the mom on Overboard. Overboard was, what, 85?
86, yeah.
Yeah, so...
She was still old. And she's still alive.
But playing the old mom. Then.
If I'm not mistaken...
It was 87.
Huh?
No, Overboard was 87.
Is Katherine Hellman still alive? I would venture to guess she is.
I'm trying to get to Soap to find out how long it lasted. I'm trying to do...
Because I don't remember Soap as much as I remember Benson.
Mm. Right, no, because it was after. Of course, that would make more sense.
So Soap lasted four seasons.
Four, okay.
Yeah, it looks to be.
87 Katherine Helmut alive.
Yeah.
So she was 50 when it came on.
Okay.
So she was...
Oh my God, she's in her 90s. She's like 90 now?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was born in 1929.
Hokey smokes, Bo Winkle.
Atta a girl.
Yeah, 88.
And I'm sure if was given a role, she'd still show up and do it.
Yeah, see if she's anything in the works. She did Cars 3. She was a voice in Cars 3 this year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you can sit in a chair and talk to a microphone.
Of course you can.
I mean, you can do that, Al.
We do
Yeah, Al, you do it.
Yeah. So that'd be appropriate. So
four times a month.
She was 56, 57, 58, 59, playing Goldie Hawn's mother, and that'd be about right.
That was appropriate.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Goldie Hawn in that movie was supposed to be 28.
Yeah, and she's about 30.
Yeah.
No, 40. And all I know is in 95, all the women on...
So if that movie came out in 87...
First Wives Clubs. All turned 50 at the same time during coming up First Wives.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, in 80s, if that movie came out in 87, she was playing a 28-year-old.
And she's probably closer to 38.
Jenny, it could be Kaftan Night.
Yeah.
When is Kaftan Night?
We haven't set a date yet.
The funny thing about Mary Tyler Moore...
Does he get a V-neck black one?
I'll make one.
Oh. Mary Tyler Moore was 38 or 39 when that show started, and they made a point that she was 30.
Yeah.
Like, and she was actually older than Rhoda, but they made Rhoda be an older character to be the wise
Oh, yeah.
Single friend. Woman.
I heard about that, but my mom was the biggest Mary Tyler Moore
Yeah, there was a
ever.
Big deal about her. She couldn't be almost 40 and single. She no. needed to be just barely 30.
Because of that name.
So they hammered home her age in that first season way too many times. It becomes uncomfortable how many times they mention how old she is.
The only reason why I'm in existence.
Because you had to justify a single woman in 1970.
Yeah.
Like, there had to be a reason why she was single. It was so suspect. Mm-hmm. Like, that show was so controversial.
My mother tells me all the time. She was 20 years old, and in 78, if you were 20 years old and not married and not having kids by now, you were an old maid, and you were destined to a life of servitude and or librarian.
Yeah,
like, that was your choice. You were going to be a maid or a librarian.
And now
you were
I can't
never
think of a
anything.
Better job.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
To have just become a librarian. I like the, yeah.
And my mom tells me her goal as a Southern Baptist woman was get married to a rich man and have kids.
Yeah, and that awful thing where they went to college to get an MRS degree.
Yeah.
I never got... It took me so long to get that joke that it's the only reason you went to college. I'm like, that is so... awful. And the fact that Mary Tyler Moore couldn't be divorced because the American public would think she divorced Dick Van Dyke.
No. Yep. I recall
so, like,
about
they
that.
Had to change the pilot and say she left a fiance, and they had to like put it in the credits somehow that she wasn't divorced. Like just the weird shit, or that I'm older than one of the Golden Girls. Currently. When that show started, Rue McClanahan wasn't 50. Yeah. Like that's so awful that she was in her golden years.
At 50.
17 years before the bitch could legally retire. Like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Settle down, people. We've gone nowhere. We have Betsy DeVos. We've gone we're right back where we started.
Yeah.
Are you done?
I am.
God, I thought we'd never.
You helped beat that soap story to death.
Well, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I mean, let's move on, shall we? Thank you.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of frazzled two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole ass one thing.
Boys and girls, it's Kat Carlson.
So it's kind of appropriate that we ended the last segment on this like feminist rant because I want to tell you about a New Jersey magazine and their women's empowerment panel. So SJ Magazine, which stands for South Jersey, is a publication dedicated to South Jersey and is being criticized for a now canceled event billed as a women's empowerment panel. The problem is that the panel consisted entirely of men.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was Pence on it?
Yeah. Women's rights and what men think about it.
Oh, my God.
was
it Unitarian?
No, I'm sorry. The event was called Women in Business, A Man's Point of View.
Wow.
Yeah. Scheduled panelists included a correspondent for ESPN.
Oh.
University president, and a couple other CEOs, whatever. After the magazine tweeted out information for the upcoming panel, withering criticism and mockery ensued.
Yeah.
Oh.
Surprise.
Weird.
Some expressed disbelief that the organizers of the event didn't see the problem. One Twitter user.
Did they talk to anybody at Dove or Pepsi?
Yeah.
Anyone with the last name Jenner.
This is real. Tweeted Yashar Ali, who's a freelance reporter for the Huffington Post and New York Magazine, sharing the magazine's advertisement for the panel. His post was retweeted 1,700 times.
Mm.
Okay, hold on.
Yep.
But man's point of view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They couldn't have men on the panel? Like, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
But a women in business?
Right. But to seminar, to right. empower women in business and to not put any women on the stage panel,
right. at all
seems problematic.
Oh, no, I get that. But I'm thinking, allowed to have some men on the panel, right?
Now, no. Wait a minute.
Because you said the men's point
having,
of view.
If you're having a symposium on men, please stop blocking women from powerful positions, then yes, there should be men on that panel and there should be men in that audience. But if you're trying to empower women. you should actually empower them
by letting them speak.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
No, I'm agreeing with that. I'm just...
We're 2,000 some odd years into knowing what the fuck men think.
I just want to put one man up on that panel and let the women rip him the fuck apart. Like, that was kind of where I was going with that. Was... Like, let a man be on that panel. Uh-huh. Let the women, too.
Who's the scapegoat this week?
Yeah.
Who are we putting up there?
SJ Magazine tried to dig themselves out of the hole by tweeting, this is one of four panels. Parenthetically, the others are all women. And the magazine tweeted, men have a responsibility to step up and support women, and we want to start the discussion. And that's true. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have equality without everyone.
Right.
I agree with that. But again, otherwise you can't
it's not
call
equality.
It, right. But again, you can't call it empowering women without women.
Yeah.
Right.
Because all of you guys coming together are going to end up at where we've been for the last millennium.
Dick jokes. You're just going to end in dick jokes.
As men, let me tell you how you feel.
Right, yeah.
As a woman about men being in business. Yeah.
Yeah, so after much criticism, they've decided to cancel the event.
because, you know what? And that's even worse. They never even thought to invite women.
Right.
They just canceled it.
Yeah. Right. They didn't say, oh, well, let's add to the panel.
Let's add women to the panel and have a discussion. Because, oh, no, just cancel that shit. Just don't talk about it.
Because
I
think a thoughtful discussion is in order and lots of them should happen. And I think lots of them maybe do happen over, you know, kitchen tables and boardroom tables and whatever. But.
And you know what? The beautiful segue between that whole thing, they could have had men at first and then women later, and the segue was Caitlyn Jenner.
Ah, well played.
Both sides of the issue. Before I got this done...
I still think she's on more one side than the
other. But still, before I got this done, here's how I felt when I was Paul Volting or whatever the fuck she was doing. And now, I can't drive.
She's still trying to pull vote.
Ugh. She's awful.
Again... Caitlyn Jenner, not a great spokesperson.
Or anything.
I didn't
anything.
Say
anything.
She was a great spokesperson.
For anyone.
I thought she could have been a
not
segue.
Not Republicans. Not Segways.
Yeah. The makers of Segway have asked you to cease and desist. Well played. The danger of homonyms.
Yeah. I like it.
All right.
You know when Segway doesn't want you. You're done.
Uh-huh.
Go so, sit in your rich house on the top of Malibu Mountain.
I don't know how to ride it. I don't know how to ride her.
While we've spent this whole show screaming about things that are terrible,
yes,
we have not screamed about the young woman in Houston and the abortion.
Uh-huh. Oh, right.
Yeah. Which...
Which is part of DACA,
which,
right?
Yeah. Right. Well, no. She... how did she get here? She was fleeing somewhere.
Refugee!
Yeah. So she was already 9 weeks into her first trimester by the time she learned she was pregnant, and by then she was already in federal custody at the border in Texas, one of a multitude of unaccompanied minors caught trying to enter the United States without their parents or relatives. She's 17 years old.
Yep.
A simple pregnancy test set off a dramatic legal battle between civil rights lawyers and the Trump administration after the teenager made it known that she wanted an abortion. She does not want to have this baby. Mm-hmm. Lawyers and advocates for the girl accused federal officials of preventing her from having an abortion and of taking extraordinary steps to persuade her and other undocumented pregnant minors to have their babies.
Yep.
So they have, I think they tried to send her to one of these like facilities that try and scare the shit out of you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And show you horrible videos and tell you that God's going to slap you in the... Yeah.
Citizen Ruth. Watch Citizen Ruth.
Uh-huh. But... Today, a federal appeals court in Washington sided with the girl, sending the case back to a lower court, which immediately ordered the Trump administration to allow the girl to obtain an abortion, quote, promptly and without delay.
Yeah, so within enough time, because that was kind of the big thing.
Right, because that's the other thing, because they're in Texas, and so there's
how
like
weeks,
there's a 20-week,
right?
I think it's 20 weeks that they cut that off. So here's the thing that nobody's really, like, not nobody, because I stole this from somebody else, this particular point of view, so somebody's talking about it. But the thing that these horrible anti-abortion forced birth people are effectively doing, like, whenever somebody's like, nope, nope, she can't have an abortion, abortion's wrong, she has to have that baby. Just imagine that they're handcuffing her to a gurney and forcing her to give birth, because that's what you're doing. You know what I mean? You cannot.
No part of this is joyous.
Yeah. None of this is good. But it is kind of a there's a little bit of tongue in cheek irony to this, right? Because you're basically the anti immigration, anti anchor baby, anti dreamer people are forcing this girl to have an anchor baby.
Yep. Like, right?
Which one do you hate more, brown people or abortion?
The center of the sin. The center of the sin. Like, right?
Yeah.
The Venn diagram, right?
Right.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, yeah. Where the circles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it.
Jason had a question.
I read, because I've heard, my background, I've heard the anti-abortion thing my whole life.
Sure.
I read one of the best things ever, actually, today.
Yeah.
And it was this gentleman, I can't remember his name, I can't quote anything. He has gone around for 10 years now and documented asking anti-abortion people one simple question.
Yep. I have it right here.
You have it?
I'll get it for you.
And he has said, if you're at a fertility clinic and you have one choice to make, and this building catches on fire, and in this room you have a 4-year-old toddler, and you have a cryogenic tube with 10,000 kids in it.
Embryos.
Well, which do you choose to save? And you only get the one choice. You don't get choice C, which is saving your own life.
Patrick Tomlinson.
Okay, so now I can quote appropriately. Yep. He's saying there in the 10 years of his doing this research, of asking all the anti-abortion people, what is your choice? He's never been able to get a single answer of it's either A or B. No, everybody always says, well, I think it should be B, but I want to save all the embryos too. So that is the one thing that I have found is amazing of the whole anti-abortion thing so far, is if you're so pro-life, saying that an embryo is life too, and you're now saying that you won't save those 10,000 embryos
over
because
one.
You're going to save that one child that's already alive, that's a toddler.
Because it's this thing that we can't seem to get our minds around and we can't seem to get out of. It's called false equivalency.
Yeah.
Okay, so no one is saying that those embryos don't have value. No one is saying that they don't have potential life. Mm-hmm. What we are saying is that they are less valuable than an actual child.
Right. Yes. Right. A child standing in front of you saying, save me.
Well, right. And he says it's a simple scenario with two outcomes. No one ever wants to pick the one, as you were saying, because the correct answer destroys their argument. And there is a correct answer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You save the baby.
The pro-life crowd hates the question.
When I read that today, it was very powerful to me because of all of the pro-life people in my life.
They're not pro-life. They're anti-abortion.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the important thing to say. They're not pro-life because they're for the death penalty. So you can't be pro-life and pro-death penalty.
At the same time. No, of course. But when I read that today, I was like...
Yeah. They're also usually anti-helping poor people. Yeah. They're anti-government assistance. Like, anti-everything that people need to sustain life.
Yeah, they're anti-DACA. Yeah. They're
Are they going to... You have to have the baby.
Handcuff her to that.
We're not going to start discriminating.
We're not going to help you with the baby.
No.
Especially if it's a female. We're going to start discriminating... Immediately. Absolutely.
Right. What they are asking is that you handcuff a 17-year-old girl to a gurney and force her to give birth to a baby that she doesn't want and didn't ask for.
Yep.
Yep.
And then criticize her for it after she does.
Mm-hmm. And now Jenny says she's a refugee from Galveston Island, and I'm just confused because I was under the impression that Galveston Island was just a part of Texas. But is it Mexico?
I don't think so.
Or is that just where she came through? Is that where she, as a refugee, landed on Galveston Island?
Galveston Island is part of Texas.
Yeah. I'm confused about the backstory of... I knew it was in Texas, but the Galveston...
Unless there's two parts that I don't know about.
No, I think
that's where they landed.
Okay, and I just wondered that because I watch all those hurricane stories, and they always talk about the Galveston Island hurricane.
Yeah, and I didn't do a lot of looking into the backstory of this story.
Why the hell not?
You know what? Because Honestly, I didn't want to. You know what? Because the whole thing is so upsetting, icky and gruesome.
Right.
And,
no, I understand.
Like, it's...
Oh, okay. Refugee. Okay, I gotcha. Jenny says the Galveston Island was a joke. I just wasn't sure if that functioned as their Ellis Island. Like, the only thing I know about Galveston Island is from all the hurricane shows that I watch on the Weather Channel.
Right.
So I know it got blasted by a hurricane about 100 years ago.
Terrible.
And they like to talk about it.
Jenny.
Yeah, but I mean, it shouldn't matter where she's from. Yeah.
No, you know, it doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter where she's from.
You don't hold a young woman. Yeah. You don't hold a woman hostage to give birth to a baby that she doesn't want. Like, no.
I don't think you hold a woman hostage, period.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's what we learned on a lot of other news stories.
Yeah.
Hostages are frowned upon.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, that's what she has a good hat. Melania.
Give a nice little hat.
Exactly.
Melania's a hostage.
Blink twice.
She's a double.
Blink twice.
Oh, how have we not talked about the Melania double?
Faux Trump.
Have you not heard fake Melania?
Oh, no, I saw. Oh, no, okay. I actually saw the post.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but those look like two different people.
Yeah. I hope there is one.
Okay,
that was a fake nose.
I hope that he
not
doesn't
fake
know
news,
about
fake
it.
Nose.
I hope that he has no idea.
He can't
and
tell
there's
the
just been a fake Melania
He's
for
never
years.
Even
yes.
known
funny.
That she was standing next. Remember the other news article from a month ago?
Dotty old racist.
Doesn't even know that she's standing next
maybe
to him.
Maybe the problem is he does realize but forgets he's supposed to lie about it. And he does. It's like, oh, this isn't her.
Well, I love that he's like, well, my wife, Melania. She's right here.
Right.
You know?
But maybe he
Melania wishes she could be here.
Even though this looks just like her.
The one where she slapped his hand away.
Yes.
That's
brilliant.
That spoke volumes.
Yeah.
I hope that there's been a fake Melania for like 10 years.
Yeah, it would be delightful.
That's... would make
and she's the real Melania's trapped in the top of Trump Tower.
Yeah. Oh no, she's not trapped. She's happily living away from all the bullshit in the White House.
She's on the beach in the south of France.
She doesn't have Twitter. Pooping. She doesn't have TV. I mean, she's got TV, but old Smurf remix. like she's just living up there eating bonbons and doing
meanwhile,
nothing.
Fake Melania is lecturing elementary school kids about
bullying. That's always the best.
The cyberbullying issue.
The list could go on and on.
Is that the same cyberbullying that they're having in Puerto Rico right now?
Maybe.
It could be.
Maybe.
With no electricity or internet.
They have internet now. The balloons. They launched the balloons.
Yeah. SpaceX did that, right?
Yeah, they did the balloons.
Elon Musk?
Google. No, Google.
Google did that. It? Elon Musk is doing the solar reconstruction of their grid.
Oh. No.
A couple of things before we move on to the final segment.
Not.
Before we move on to the final segment, I wanted to bring this up. I just happened to look last night on the app, and I was surprised to see this. Seven listeners in the middle of our night last night. So this was like at 1 a.m. our time in Phoenix. I don't recall. Have we had Poland before?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Poland was listening. If you're listening from Poland, thank you. We'd like you to email us. Let us know how you found us, what you like, what you don't like. Not that we're going to change anything. But I was just curious. I saw that Poland was listening. And I want to touch base on a story that we talked about earlier with regards to these shoes. These are the sandals that y'all were talking about. And now,
those are a later model.
I remember those, but these I remember.
That's what I was going to.
Yep.
Those are atrocious.
Yep, I had a pair.
That's the Tiva, baby.
I thought maybe there was some sort of a Native American festival.
I told you.
And there was beadwork.
Jerusalem
done.
Cruiser for the new age.
And let me tell you, those fuckers were expensive.
Yep. Yeah.
Were they?
Back then, like cheap. $70.
Yeah. Now, the first ones I saw, I actually owned a pair of those.
Yeah, you something still do,
similar,
actually. I think,
or
in your closet.
I still have a pair very similar to that.
I can't.
Yeah.
Only for...
On purpose or just for, like, dress-up day?
So they're...
Those are day at school.
Form a whim.
Right.
They're river shoes. Should I decide to go float the river?
To a river or canal.
Or a canal.
Sure.
Right. Anytime that I need water-safe... Now, secure footwear.
I mean, that's what I bought them for back in the 80s.
Yeah. River shoes. May I bring you up to date on the river shoes? You can buy aqua socks that have a sole on them.
Yep.
And they're $9.99 to $19.99, depending.
Oh my god, I own those.
Depending on your distance from water currently.
But in the Tivas, my toes can just fly free.
Oh,
yeah, it's true. And get hit by rocks.
Yep. Unrestricted toes.
That's
secure soles.
Sad. And factual all at the same time.
And you get to say Tiva Tan.
Tiva Tan.
Okay. Jenny apparently owns those. My doctor calls them comfortable shoes. There you go. All right. It's just a little past the 10 o'clock hour here at Phoenix. Let's start this just so we can get it over with. Can we please?
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
You. So in this day and age, when everything is right now,
fucked.
My opinion, just so fucking shitty. Yeah, where you kind of, no, not everything, but where you look around and the state of affairs as they are just a little too much. People seem to be bitching about everything. People seem to be kind of down about a lot of the things that, whether it be jobs, and yet you hear jobs are exploding, right? And
yeah,
the financial, the this and this. But take all that out of it. What makes you happiest right now? What makes you happy?
Vodka.
There you go. And if that's the answer,
ice cream.
There's a program.
Ice cream, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Exactly.
Are you starting?
Yeah.
Same mate? No. Carlton?
No, and the funny side of it would be like those superficial things like the ice cream that I was talking about earlier. But no, what makes you happiest and what should make all of us happiest is the friends and family that you surround yourself with.
Sure.
And who you've chosen to be your family. And knowing that you can watch Ellen DeGeneres and know that there are little kids in this world that it always breaks my heart and makes me cry when I watch it. And there's always going to be good in this world.
Sure.
And it's not always that shitty. Mm-hmm. So even though there is a lot of shitty, there's going to be good and love and happiness and everything unicorn and fluffy will always prevail.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I like that. I like that a lot. Vodka.
And whiskey.
Yeah.
Skittle flavored vodka.
Still two things. I got you on
vodka
that.
Vodka thing and a whiskey thing.
Two things. Vodka and whiskey.
No, what about cheap beer?
You know what? No? I'm, and a lot of people that I know are very fortunate that, you know, terrible things that are in the news are still very, like, cerebral, right? Like, they're concepts and they're things that we don't believe in, but they're not necessarily affecting me yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think the same things that made me happy a year ago are still the things that make me happy now. Yeah. Mostly vodka.
Yeah. Whiskey. Yeah.
And whiskey. But no, like, I'm always happiest when I'm building something, you know, so I've got like a website and another fucking t-shirt campaign to work on. So, you know, that keeps me fairly content. Yeah, just the same old stuff, you know, the people, the projects, the everyday minutia that keeps me happy is still keeping me happy because they have not opened the lesbian concentration camps yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I have a question
is
about
that
those
softball
camps.
Again?
It is for Friday nights. Yeah.
Are most of them going to be run by either Bass Pro Shops or Cabela's? Because I think a lot of the accoutrement associated with those two establishments be like both cargo pants that are camouflage and comfortable shoes.
No.
I think are going to be part of this.
No, Subaru and Target. Fuck you.
Oh, no.
It's bigger corp.
No.
With an Olive Garden kicker.
Yeah, I'm not mad about that. According to Buddy Early.
Yeah. Damn it, now I want endless salad.
I'm going to camp.
We're going to camp.
Camp Refugee.
Poor Olivia Gardens is going to have to stay in drag for 10 years while we're in camp because she's going to need that Olive Garden.
That's right, it's true.
I want endless salad now is really what I want.
Yeah, but I have to emphasize that I'm...
Oh, they don't close till midnight. I can still go.
Yeah.
I have to emphasize that I'm very fortunate that there hasn't been a policy or a change in our country and in the world that has affected me detrimentally. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't been directly, personally, detrimentally affected
right
yet.
Yep. Fair. I like that.
Clayton McKee.
Oh, I love it, Amina, yeah.
No,
the lady in the black caftan.
I will.
Stanley.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to find one, God damn it.
That's going to be an amazing show. Motivate, I can't wait.
Be a very flowy show.
Very flowy. We should do it in front of a green screen on like bar stools like so that we could see the glory of the caftan.
Glory.
I like it.
Oh, and, no, and everybody they, at a sitting
glory,
on a couch.
Glory
and what
is the
were they calling
us?
What were they calling on the last episode of Will and Grace? The
pajama party.
Pajama party pose.
Yeah.
But if we do it in front of a green screen, what has to be behind us is the Regal Beagle. We just have to have the Regal Beagle shot from Three's Company behind us.
Yes. Yes and yes. I'm in. I'm in.
Amina, yes. Skittle flavored
I guess I'll. I guess I'll agree with what a lot of what Kat said is. Yes, there have been threats. Yes, there's been things said, blah, blah, blah. But because they can't seem to pass any legislation at all, nothing has really affected me directly at this point. I'm not saying some of the things that have been revoked, if you will, or decommissioned or whatever word you want to use. I'm not thrilled about it. But at this point, it doesn't really affect me directly. But it is interesting that one of the things that I can still just jump in my own vehicle and drive around. I still have the freedoms that a lot of people in the world don't have. I mean, for crying out loud, what was it just a couple weeks ago? Women were just given the right to drive
in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, I mean, we can just jump in whatever vehicle we want for the most part and just go anywhere, do anything at any time.
None
of that has been changed.
Right.
I look at things like that. It's the freedom to do that. The freedom to sit and do nothing. The freedom to channel surf and watch 300 channels of chrome-plated crap every day that you pay for. Like, we have those abilities still. And again, I guess the phrase of this too shall pass, I hate where we are. We're going to get through it because we've been through, I wouldn't say we've been through this bad, but we've been through some shitty shit before. We've made it through Vietnam. We made it through Korea, World War II. We've made it through some presidents who were like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
But and where we're all sitting, we've made it through.
We made it through a lot.
This country, worse.
Right.
No. And
at
I'm not,
this point.
Right.
No.
But I guess you just keep looking at those little things. You're like, we can still do this show. Mm-hmm. We still look, I still look at things like that. Right. And the sad part is a lot of what you see, you're starting to think, okay, this is like a series. Like, it's just a, what's the season finale
like
of this going to be?
A reality show, right?
Yeah. You just trapped.
We're hoping for impeachment.
Who's going to vote him off the island?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, what? No. Did you guys talk about it last week or this week at all? Sorry to interrupt, but even about all of the new people that are coming out, even offering, like Larry Flint, offering money for impeachment.
Oh, no, I did hear that, yeah.
Have you guys talked about that?
The owner of Hustler.
Owner of Hustler, but now also two different billionaires this week have also now come forward and said, we are offering huge rewards for anybody that will bring articles of impeachment towards the president. But that's what Larry Flint did 2 weeks
ago. But you have to prove. Well, you don't really need to prove of a high crime, but...
So there's a couple of things there. You can impeach a president and not take him out of office. Yeah. You know that, right?
Right. What's like what happened with
filing
Clinton?
The articles of impeachment and,
and
whatever investigations.
Yeah, different.
They're two different things. So you could impeach Trump every day for 100 Sundays. Right. And
but I think Larry Flint was saying if you brought forward information that brought forward articles of impeachment to get him out of office.
Right.
So it's more effective
and
if it's a high crime misdemeanor.
And that's wonderful, but that won't actually
get him out of office.
Take Trump out of office. Right. And
it can.
And that's not the base solution anyway.
No.
You know, President Pence is terrifying.
Yeah.
Not saying that we want to keep Trump or that we shouldn't continue to
investigate
stuff.
My uterus shudders every time I think about it.
I believe
it. I got rid of mine, and
that's
I'm
even
still
in
scared to death of that. Shit.
Blood coming out of everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, like there's a lot of really scary stuff just kind of hanging and looming. Mm-hmm. And impeaching Trump sounds amazing and final, but it's not.
No, I wasn't implying that.
I'm just
happy of the fact that people are actually saying, I will pay you money just to say that he was.
And then he becomes a martyr. Then he becomes, oh, he really was run out on a, on a flimsy charge. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You risk martyring somebody, which is worse. Because then you give those people a thing. Oh, the people on the left always run people out of town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the new thing going around and the
Well, the Republicans are trying to run him out right now, so I'm happy for that.
What's it called? The conspiracy theories are that only Democrats are assassins. Like, it's not anybody from the NRA.
Oh, sure.
That only Democrats do mass shootings. That they're all liberal. That, you know what I mean? Like, there's no one in the NRA that's ever done a mass shooting. Oh, you got to read it. And now that I know that it all comes from these Russian, comes from these St. Petersburg farms.
Yeah.
Right, now that I know where these people, so now I'm starting to, like, friend people again, because I want to see what the troll farms were making, because I'm like, oh, that's who you got that from. Like, all the Bernie people, that all that had that shit, we talked about this before, about, they had the thing about Clinton killing 41 people. Mm-hmm. That came from a troll farm in St. Petersburg, sent to the US and Facebook, and passed around by the Bernie bots. That were like, well, she did, it's right here in my newsfeed. And they shared it. God. So my thing that makes me happy is the fact that, like, at some point, even the opposition still puts their kids in music programs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's still this asshole Republican on my page that puts up rapey pictures blaming Gwyneth Paltrow for Harvey Weinstein's actions.
Right.
Has his kids in the arts program, is trying to raise money for his high school arts program.
Okay.
So you know what I mean? You're still raising a mo there, kids. You're going to end up with some kind of empathy with an arts program. You know what I mean? You're not going to...
Sure.
It's hard to put a kid through a full course of the arts and have them come out hating people. It can happen,
right.
But boy, right. You've made it tough for them to just be the bigots that your parents are. So
I think that's
See,
good, too.
They know how to make good people, even if they aren't good people.
You're right, exactly. There's proof of that.
I do believe there's good in almost everybody.
I don't believe that at all. But
I want to.
I would like to, but I don't.
I said almost everybody.
Yeah.
When I'm looking at the fact that...
There's that 1%.
Yeah.
We took off and we went to Arizona, right? I mean, like when you were talking about just being able to get in your car and go and do and Kat, I'm with you, because those things haven't negatively impacted us yet. The stuff that's being talked about. And so I think I am still happiest about living here and being in America, thinking of and looking at things that Amina has posted and stuff that Anant talks about with the gay situation.
Oh, right. Or just socially, like the nurses have been in strike for 140 days.
And
like,
they're getting
the
ready,
doctors
and
striking.
The stores are closed, and the election.
Oh my God, Joe wants to impeach Dick Clark. What the hell is that about?
You're dumb.
What?
Or DC Comics? I mean, he's kind of nerdy.
I see that DC logo, and I think Dick Clark. Wow.
It's okay. But I really do. Whatever has been going on, everything that the things that we fear, or in a sense should fear, I just hope that we don't take it on so much that it becomes just that thought that
sits right
here, and we can't enjoy
what you have,
what we have,
right?
You know, at this point, so yeah.
Oh, because when you start feeding on what you hate and what you're scared of is what you turn into, those Woodsboro Baptist freaks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, sure. You can't do that.
But you have to wonder, like, when do those 30% that like Trump and voted for him go, oh, wait, that's too far?
Yeah.
Because so far it's nothing.
Right.
So far nothing's too
far. But they're living on welfare.
Right, exactly.
And they don't have TV.
It's gonna be gone soon. And it's gonna be gone soon.
Oh, yeah. But they don't know.
Right.
Right, they haven't done the math.
It's every red southern
state. Maybe that's
what
makes me happy.
A lot of ours.
That we're smarter than those folks.
But you know what we have to do within all this? We have to give them hope. We have to give them hope that next week we're going to come back.
And you can get hope. And you can get hope. And you can.
3 hours of hope.
He's trying to tan, but he's not that dark.
Stranger Things comes out this Friday.
Hope and change. Hope and change.
I've never seen the show, but I'm hosting a Stranger Things party this weekend at Lester Rooftop Bar.
Hokey smokes. If you made it this far, you can make it again next week. Same time, same station. It's Q Talk America. We do the show. It's Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer. That's Al Perkins. This week, Jason Carlton joined us.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Clayton McKee. Thanks so much. Oh, my God. I think we've had some good conversation.
We did good today, yeah.
We managed to get through it. Nobody got hurt or injured. I think that's a plus.
And I didn't say too many offensive
things. I pulled a hamstring.
Later tonight, let's do it. As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!